Wow, Annie, it is so exciting to have you back from your amazing trip through time.
I know, Annie, we were so worried about you. We thought we'd have to do the rest of the park without you.
Yeah, now that I'm back from the 1960s, I can get back to our Grand Circle Tour, delivering the rich history, awesome stories, and fascinating details behind your favorite Disneyland attractions.
Now, Annie, I'm curious. Did you notice anything different about Disneyland when you came back from the past? I mean, besides everything being in color again, obviously.
Well, it seems like people are all a little taller in 2020, and instead of dressing all dapper, people dress like they're going to the beach.
Okay, Boomer.
What about you, Annie? Do you think you've changed at all?
Me? I don't know. Maybe a little. I definitely appreciate being back in the same time as my family and friends.
Yeah, I bet that's nice. But hey, I want to know, any side effects from that time travel?
Funny you should ask. I do have a strange ringing in my head.
Wait, is it like a steady ring, ring, ringing of like a school bell or something?
Yeah.
Hey, I hear it too.
Annie, that ringing isn't in your head. It's in mine.
But that's impossible.
Yeah, right. It's impossible. Guys, that's not in your head. It's a real bell, and it's coming from over there by that ship in Toon Lake.
Oh, that's a relief. Hey, I know that boat. That's the next stop on our tour of Toontown.
It is. I'm sorry I missed your tour of Goofy's house. But right next door is the home of that fine, feathered, and furious friend, Donald Duck.
And what a sight it is, my friends. Donald, being the sailor duck he is, couldn't just have a quote-unquote ordinary house like Goofy. Oh no, he's got to have his very own naval vessel.
A bona fide seafaring, ocean-going steamship.
And it's a boat, too.
Yeah, that's right, Freddy. And if you look at the details of the ship, there's no mistaking who it belongs to.
Take a look at that color scheme. There's the royal blue roof, like Donald's hat and shirt. Bright yellow cabin like his beacon legs. It's got a gleaming white hull like Donald's feathers. And red accents like his bow tie.
And if you couldn't tell by the colors, you can see Donald's laundry all hanging out to dry.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, there's that too. Oh, there's his hat and his shirt and his neckerchief.
A duck is never fully dressed without his neckerchief.
You said it, Freddy. And speaking of dress, if Donald's clothes are all hanging out to dry, I have a really awkward question, friends. What exactly is Donald wearing right now?
Ooh, yikes. Duck au naturel.
Well, and look at that. The roof is even a little floppy like Donald's sailor hat.
Clever duck. You know, it trips me out a little bit to see that floppy hat on top of the boat. I remember on Goofy's house, Goofy's hat was on top of his house. It seemed kind of a strange decision for the Imagineers to have to tell us whose house it was by the hat on the roof. Did you guys notice that too?
Yeah.
I think it's a little strange. I'm not going to lie. I guess the thing that I'm wondering is, what would my house look like if it had to match what I looked like?
Good question.
Well, I think that's why they're so cute. It's like the house is wearing a hat. It's like the house is you, or at least the character. And so I think mine would be really plain looking. My house would be beige.
yours would have art supplies sticking out the windows, I think.
Yeah, yes, it would. It would have like a picket fence made of paintbrushes.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. If we're going off of like the spirit of who you are, Annie, I think that it would have little flower boxes under the window filled with like, I don't know, little bright colored flowers, a well manicured yard, and a swing set in the back that you jump from into a small kid's pool filled with.
Oh my gosh.
That is the nicest thing anyone has ever said to me ever.
Well, and I have to finish that inside of the pool would be some sort of naturally sweetened treat like fruit. It wouldn't be Jell-O or pudding. It would have to be naturally sweetened because you're all about the natural.
That's very true. That's very true.
I think my house would have a mustache.
Ooh.
Ooh.
I think that it would have a mustache, and for some reason I just feel like yours would be a khaki colored house, Freddie. That's kind of the feeling that I get with a welcome mat in some sort of floral print.
Yeah, or leopard skin.
Ooh,
I could see that. That's very exotic. I would have to say that with my house, for a lot of people who know me, the first thing that they would say is it would just be draped in flannel. Because I just wear a lot of flannel. That's all there is to it.
Well, I'm looking at Donald's house. Check it out. The figurehead on the bow of the ship looks just like somebody we know.
It's Daisy Duck.
That's right. A good sailor knows that a beautiful maiden on the ship's bow will keep Neptune happy and your ship safe and sound on the wide open seas.
And a good name is going to definitely make that old ship very famous. On the stern of the ship, as we see Donald has named his boat the Miss Daisy. And boy, has he got it bad whenever he drives Miss Daisy.
Oh, gosh, that's a good one.
That was bad.
Yeah, Donald Duck sure is a lover boy.
Yeah.
And as you cross over the dock into the cargo hold of the ship here, you're going to pass by a buoy in the harbor that it looks like it doubles as Donald's mailbox.
I wonder if he's home.
Let's go in and look around, shall we?
Oh, wow. Look at this place. It's kind of empty, isn't it?
So, like Goofy's house, Donald's boat is supposed to be a play place for kids. The designers of Toontown knew that the demographic for this little village would be younger children looking for more play than thrills. So they purposefully put in more physical activities and play spaces than rides. That way kids can expel some of that churro energy, if you know what I'm saying.
I see what you mean. See, this is more like a place where kids can make believe that they're toons in Donald's Navy, running around above and below decks until they collapse into a stroller for the rest of the night. They don't even wake up for the fireworks.
Been there.
Now, as a play place, there's not a ton of stuff to do in Donald's boat, I gotta be honest. On the bottom deck, you can see Donald's living area with a hammock and sink and his sailor effects.
Gotta love those webbed waders.
Well, and up on the top deck, the kinder captains can spin the wheel or push control buttons to create sound effects or pull the ropes to sound the foghorn or ring the bell. I mean, honestly, it is a little sparse.
Yeah, other than those things, there's not much else going on.
I don't know, Freddy. That might be true if you see Donald's house as a solitary piece of play equipment in a public park.
Wait, remember that one with the tic-tac-toe spinner things?
But this isn't a public park. It's Disneyland, you guys.
Wait, oh, cats game. Ooh, why is it called cats? That's what I want to know. Is why, when you lose, it's called cats.
Ow. Don't miss the forest for the tree, you guys. Donald's house is actually an incredibly well-themed part of an imagination-charged whole.
You're right, Annie. Donald's house is just one play area inside a whole city of cartoony fun you can play with.
I gotta say, to a kid, this is paradise. I mean, especially for my 4-year-old son, one of the biggest thrills that he gets is going into Donald Duck's house. I mean, as an adult, I'm like, okay. But there's something just truly adventurous. And I remember the first time that I went on Donald's boat, it was just pure adventure thinking, oh my word, this thing's on water. I am in a legit ship right now inside of Disneyland. There was something just magical about it.
That's exactly it. Because sometimes we forget to look at things through the eyes of a child, but really, the magic is about being able to go and explore these places as like an entire cartoon city. Everything's just open for you. So not everything needs to be the rise of the resistance, if you know what I'm saying.
Oh, whoa, low blow.
That's true. Low blow. No, I agree with you, Annie. In fact, there's some pretty fun storytelling Easter eggs inside Donald's boat. My favorite is the family portraits here by Donald's bed.
Ooh, mine too. I think it's so sweet to think of Donald drifting off to sleep thinking about the ones he loves.
Yes, indeed. And here we have one of his three nephews, the famous Huey, Dewey, and Louie. Oh, and look at that picture over there with his best pal south of the border, Joe Carioca and Panchito, the three caballeros.
Of course, there's the one with his best girl, Daisy. Aww. The belle of the boat.
And we can't leave out the picture of Donald with none other than the original dreamer of Toontown, Walt Disney. That gets me every time.
Yep, Uncle Donald's Uncle Walt.
I love that the Imagineers included this little nod to Walt like this. It's the kind of detail that makes this place so intriguing. I mean, it's not just a playhouse. It's a story unfolding before us, a story that includes a rich, rich history.
Well, let's get into it. Donald Fauntleroy Duck was born...
Fauntleroy?
Sorry, guys. Yeah, that's true. Donald's the only one of the Fab Five, you know, Mickey, Minnie, Donald, Goofy, and Pluto. He's the only one with an official middle name, Fauntleroy.
But real quick. Yep. Didn't we establish that Goofy's name was Goofy Goofy Goof? I mean, technically, Goofy has
technically
a middle name.
No, Goofy's the only one who doesn't have an official name. I mean, I suppose only Goofy is Goofy,
Goofy
none of those names ever really stick.
Yeah.
Okay, fair enough. I was under the impression that it was Goofy Goofy Goof, but apparently Fauntleroy is the only one.
Well, I have to say, Fauntleroy... Yeesh, I never would have expected that.
Well, Donald was born of an idea that Walt had when he heard voice actor Clarence Nash auditioning with Mary Had a Little Lamb in a spit-drenched duck voice.
Well, and from there, Donald then first appeared in 1934 in a little cartoon called The Wise Little Hen. But he really didn't hit it big until later that year with the short The Orphan's Benefit. This is the first time we get to see Donald's famous temper.
Oh, he sure has a temper, doesn't he?
Ah, fooey.
Well, he and Mickey played off of one another so well, they soon added him to the other Mickey cartoons. And then he started appearing in the comics as part of Mickey Mouse's trio of pals. It then from there was always Mickey, Goofy, and Donald.
Of course, a buddy film is fine, but I prefer a rom-com. When does Daisy come into the picture?
Ah, Daisy, the finest little gal to ever ruffle Donald's feathers.
Now, Daisy first appeared in 1940 in a short called Mr. Duck Steps Out, and he's been sweet on her ever since.
Who wouldn't be? She's got eyelashes for days.
Hiya, toots.
As a standalone character, Donald Duck was a force to be reckoned with. He appeared in more feature films than the head mouse himself, Mickey Mouse.
Interesting. I didn't know that.
True, true.
And like Goofy, Donald's popularity spawned an entire duck universe in the decades to come.
A duck universe?
Oh, that's right. The MCU. The Mallard Cinematic Universe.
Not bad, Al. Yeah, it's true. Think about it. We get Daisy and Donald's nephews, Huey, Dewey, and Louie.
That's a start.
Then along comes that old miser, Uncle Scrooge McDuck.
Oh, yeah, and Professor Ludwig von Drake.
Right, and then all these other birds join in. Donald flies south for the winter and meets up with the two other caballeros, Jose and Panchito. Oh, an Ottoquan bird.
Donald's got a second cousin named Gus Goose. Did you know that?
Oh, yeah, and you guys remember Gyro Gearloose? He was that chicken inventor with the light bulb friend.
Okay, Freddy, now you're just making stuff up.
No, that's canon.
Oh, right, and I think all of them come together like Avengers Endgame and DuckTales or something.
Yeah. Oh, and don't forget Little Webby and Launchpad McQuack, of course.
Oh, and Darkwing Duck.
Oh, I am the terror that flaps in the night. That was my childhood. Before we move on from this, friends, I want to bring something up that I looked into pretty deeply after watching a short with Huey, Dewey, and Louie over the holidays. Nobody is quite sure who their father is. If you look online, there is actually a duck family tree. There is so much information with this Mallard Cinematic Universe that they have to basically create the tree so you can keep everything straight. And the funny thing is, in the official Disney release, there is a branch covering the photo of Huey, Louie, and Dewey's dad. And you never get to see who he is because it's always Uncle Donald, Uncle Scrooge.
Right.
And you never know who the father is, though I will say there is a reference way back in the day. I believe it was when Donald Duck, the Donald Duck cartoon strips were in newspapers. And there is a reference to when Huey, Dewey, and Louie are first introduced into the MCU canon like that, where it says something about how Donald needs to take care of these three boys until their dad gets better. And it's, there's, again, I'm going down a weird rabbit hole here, but there is a lot of the MCU purists who believe that the reason why we don't see or hear anything from Huey, Dewey, and Louie's dad is because he never got better. He actually ended up passing away.
Oh,
now,
that's
again,
sad.
It is. But, I mean, again, that's all total fan theory. Nothing official from Disney has come out. But it's amazing to think in all of these decades, we've never heard the story of Donald's lost brother.
That's interesting.
I'm very curious.
While we're at it, does anybody know the name of Daisy's three nieces?
Oh, my. I didn't even know she had three nieces.
Actually, it's the spring months. April, May, and June.
Oh. They didn't do... Oh, yeah. Okay.
I like Darla, Starla, and Carla. Especially because Carla just seems like she would work at the local diner and not take anything from anyone.
She wouldn't take quack from anybody.
Well, I love that all of this is thanks to the creation of Donald Duck.
Yeah, that's crazy. Since he debuted in 1934, Donald's reach just keeps on growing.
Now, I think it's important to also remember that he had his enemies, too.
Did he really?
Yeah. Well, yeah, maybe more like frenemies. I mean, think about the characters who push Donald's buttons.
Well, there's the nephews.
Yeah, and Chip and Dale. Oh, my goodness, Donald really couldn't stand those chipmunks.
I guess the Beagle Boys were always out to cause trouble.
I know it's weird, but what about the most famous Mickey Mouse?
Mickey? As Donald's enemy? No.
Now, hear me out. They were pals, that's true, but Donald was really jealous of Mickey's success all the time. At the beginning of every episode of the Mickey Mouse Club, Donald was right there pushing his name above the boss. MickeyMouse, and then you do the Mickey Mouse, and then he would yell
Donald Duck.
Yeah, Mickey Mouse. And he was always pushing for the credit.
You're right.
Yeah, that's so true. Well, I know one of Donald's enemies who wasn't a friend at all.
Yeah, who was that?
Adolf Hitler.
Freddie, I think it's safe to say that that's nobody's friend. But seriously, wait, what? Hitler?
Yes, sirree. During World War II, the Disney Studios was enlisted as part of the war effort, and Donald was the star of a string of propaganda films. The most famous was called Der Führer's Face, and it pitted Donald against the Nazi regime. It's pretty strong stuff, I'd say.
So strong, in fact, that film won an Oscar that year.
Oh boy, oh boy, oh boy.
And Donald's fighting spirit became so popular with the boys on the battlefront that his face was painted on the noses of countless Allied combat aircraft.
And tattooed on the arms of many of America's servicemen.
Donald's face appeared in lots of other places, too.
Oh, that's right. He was on the packaging of Donald Duck Orange Juice, and for a long time, he was the official mascot of the University of Oregon's Fighting Ducks.
That is such a great story, but we should probably save that one for another time.
And fair enough.
Isn't Donald the model for the Mighty Ducks hockey team?
Now, he sure is, but he's evolved quite a bit since Emilio Estevez first coached that ragtag team.
Donald Duck truly is a character worthy of celebration, you guys.
Now, one thing that we didn't even talk about was the spin-off cartoon series of the Mighty Ducks. They also fall into the MCU, I'm assuming, because they all follow that same character design as the other ducks. Did you guys ever watch that back in the day?
I think I remember hearing about it and watching a few episodes. But
yeah, I remember the intro, I think. I don't remember watching. I was old by then.
Oh, I was a young buck when that came out, and I remember getting one of the action figures from the Mighty Duck series, and oh man, that thing brought me hours of excitement. And because of the nature of, I think it popped over to the Disney Channel, and we didn't have the cash flow for the Disney Channel, so I just remember dreaming about what the show had to be like after those first like two or three episodes. But
that
real quick,
is corporate. That's corporate synergy at its best.
Oh, totally. They'll get their parents to pay for the Disney Channel once they scream and cry enough. Let's put that out there like that. That'll be great. Sign off. Sorry. Freddie, do you remember in our episode about Goofy's house, didn't you say that we could identify some of Walt Disney's personality traits blended into each of the Fab Five characters?
Yeah, that's true. As we talked about last time, Goofy represents Walt's sort of clumsy, industrious side. What are you getting at?
Well, I guess the character quality that I see Donald sharing the most with Walt is probably his temper. I mean, would you think that's accurate?
Oh, yeah. Walt had a temper, too. That is for sure.
I've read how Walt Disney wasn't always the happy-go-lucky uncle we always saw on TV. They say that when things weren't going as he expected, his temper would flare up real quick.
From what I know, it had a lot to do with his perfectionism, always expecting the best. And when something fell short of his expectations, you definitely knew it.
Yeah, and you know what? They say Walt had a tell that let everybody know that he was dissatisfied.
Yes, his eyebrow. When that eyebrow started arching up past his forehead, you knew he wasn't happy. But even when he was mad, people still admired him and tried to do what they could to please him. I guess they could see through his Donald side.
Yeah. You know, that really reminds me a little bit of my own dad. Can I share with you guys a personal story?
Yeah.
By all means, my friend.
So, you know, growing up, my dad was a great friend to a lot of people. He was a chaplain, so he was at the bedsides of people when they passed away or when they were just giving birth and having babies. I mean, he was part of a lot of people's great moments in their lives, most important moments of their lives. He was also the kind of guy who would just set about on little projects and plans to create fun, a lot like Donald Duck might. You know, he's going to get ready for a date with Daisy, or he's going to set up Christmas with the boys, with the nephews. But then something would always go wrong, and my dad had a tendency to kind of fly off the handle with us. And like we were talking about with Walt, or we talk about with Donald, he's still lovable. Interestingly enough, last year at about this time, my dad passed away. And you go through a lot of emotions at that time. But something that was really interesting was my dad loved Donald Duck. He related to Donald Duck. Every time we'd go to a Disney park or watch cartoons, his choice was Donald Duck. He'd wait in line a long time to stand to get a picture with Donald Duck. And so he really, really loved Donald. And last year at this time, there also came out this series of commercials. I don't know if you saw it, but there was a series of commercials for Disneyland and Disneyland Paris that showed this little fluffy duck, a little white fluffy duck. You remember seeing that?
Yes, it was adorable. It was heartwarming.
Adorable. And so this little sweet little duck gets a Donald Duck comic book flies in from somewhere, and this little realistic-looking duck would... got really interested in the pages in this comic book, and he would pretend to be like Donald. He'd stomp his feet and put out his fist like fighting Donald, or he just really tried to relate to that Donald Duck. And then at one point the seasons change in the commercial, and everything starts to go dark and windy and cold, and the winds come up, and all the other ducks have to fly south to get away from the storms, and the little duck tries to take the comic book with him, but he loses it. It tears and falls into the water, and he has to leave it behind, and there's this sort of sadness for this little duck. And the next day you see that the sun has come up, but the duck's head is down, and he's so sad. And at the end of the commercial, he looks up, and there's a shadow falling across him, and he looks up into the face of the character Donald Duck at Disneyland.
It's precious.
Oh, it's so precious.
I need to watch this commercial.
You'll be bawling, Annie.
And then you really will. You can look it up. Just look up the Donald Duck Disneyland Paris commercial. And actually, the last text messages that I sent to my dad and the conversation we had was over that Donald Duck commercial. Well, at his funeral, that commercial came to mind, and I shared with everybody how my dad loved that duck as much as he loved his God, and how much he loved pointing people and following and reading the Bible and all that stuff. Mm. And that on that day when he passed away, it was like he, like that little duck, found Donald Duck, you know, his great hero. My dad walked across that lawn into the kingdom to be with his
hero,
his savior. Mm. I mean, it was really, really cool. That Donald Duck means so much to me. I just wanted to share that with you. You know,
that's a great story, man. That's a great story.
These Disney characters, they can really hold a very special place for us in our lives. And they're not just a cartoon.
Yeah. Well, and I think that one of the cool things here is the fact that it I mean, again, just like with others, these characters, these worlds, these things that were created take on new life and take on new metaphor and new representation throughout our lives with how they connect. And that's one of the things that I think is so cool and so special is you have that seemingly throwaway commercial for Disneyland Paris. But to you now, it is connected on such a deeper level, and it will mean something for the rest of your life. And
yeah,
every time you see Donald Duck in the park, or every time you hear Donald's voice or see a cartoon with him, I think that's so cool that it now reminds you of all the good parts about your dad. I think that's awesome, man.
Yeah,
I'm really,
truly,
really,
thank you.
I love that. I'm getting choked up over here.
Me too.
Well, thanks for sharing, Freddie.
Wow, guys, have you seen this view from the upper deck?
It sure is pretty looking out over Toontown from here. You know, I think this must be the highest point in Toontown, except for maybe that roller coaster coming out of that oak tree area over there.
I'm king of the Toontown!
Hey, come on, Freddie. Get down from there. Ah, oh, jeez. I look away for 1 second. You know, I'm getting kind of tired. Hey, let's take a rest over here on these deck chairs for a minute and soak it all in. What do you say?
Yeah, agreed. This sure is relaxing. Oh, gosh. I don't know why, but I'm starting to feel kind of sleepy.
Yeah. Hey, guys?
Yeah, Freddy?
I saw something weird over there on the upper deck. Near the back of the boat.
Freddy, what was that?
Well, there's a little locked door back there that says Captain's Quarters. But wasn't Donald's bed down below in the hold?
Yeah, so what?
Well, if Donald's quarters are below, who's the captain of this ship?
Oh, that's funny. Yeah, funny.
Well, I guess we can figure that out after a little nap.
As you exit, watch your head and watch your step.
And if you happen to miss your step and hit your head...
Watch your language.